Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know according to your word, you are no respecter of persons. That has inhabited the faces of Israel has also inhabited our faces tonight. Father, we give you praise and glory in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, Pastor, I want to now read the scripture tonight, trusting you as you always did, that you will bless us as we read. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. Father, in Jesus' holy name we pray.
Amen.
Praise be the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Now tonight, as quickly as I can, Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That is the greatest event to come in this world since he left. So, now, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived in Palestine over 2,000 years ago, will come back to have again, should be a matter of supreme importance to all men on this earth, whether they like it or not. His coming will be the greatest event that has happened since his ascension. Let me bring some historical fact that stand out like a mountain peak above all other things in the history. Now, let's see what happened before his coming. 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ come, Prophet Isaiah boldly declared with absolute accuracy that Christ's coming to us will be, in the form of a humble baby, born of a virgin. That scripture is in Isaiah 7:14, 700 years before it took place. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Then the same prophet, 700 years before the Lord came, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to enter and to order it, and to establish it, and justice, from henceforth, even forever, the Bible says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. He is the Prince of Peace. The United Nations have been there for how many years now? Did they bring any peace? They bring confusion. In fact, it's based on the Antichrist system, really. Anyway, let's go on here. The Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now, 500 years before the event, Micah, the Jewish prophet, boldly declared with absolute accuracy where Christ will be born, saying in Micah 5:2, Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, meaning Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall be come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been of old from everlasting. You can see no man can match that scripture, right? Who could have been going from everlasting? Only Christ. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So anyway, now, 700 years before the event, I saw the prophet again boldly declare with absolute accuracy many aspects of the Lord's ministry, prophesying in Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now in Luke 4, I'm not going to that place, the Lord in his first public ministry in Nazareth. That was according to his manner, he went to the temple and the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and it was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That is in Luke, about 17, I believe it is, somewhere in India. When he had opened it, he quoted this prophecy. But he left the last clause off, wherein it says in verse 2, verse 61, 2, no, he stopped, you know, he said, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped right there. He omitted the day of judgment, of vengeance, rather. Why they call the first coming is to bring grace and deliver to humanity. Second coming, after the rapture, he will come with vengeance unto them who do not believe in God's way. Amen. Praise the Lord. That judgment part will come in the second, with the third coming, right? Second coming really is the rapture. He won't touch that at that time, right? So anyway, so he's a God of justice, he's a God of judgment. Praise the Lord. So that's what's going to happen. He skipped that part when he came the first time. As well. Now, 500 years before the event, Daniel the prophet declared with absolute accuracy the time of Christ's death. Daniel 9:24, 70 years are determined upon thy people, meaning the Jews, and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. All those six things are really a sermon in themselves, but we don't have time tonight to go over that one. That can be a sermon by itself. Anyway, note, therefore, and understand that from the going, now listen to this one very well. Now, know therefore, I understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 80 and 2 weeks. So what he's saying here is there are time segments here. You have 7 weeks, you have 62 weeks. If you add that together, you get 69 weeks. Now, in prophetic timing, or the Lord knows, has different time measures. 1 week here, in the prophetic sense, is actually, 7 years, actually. I can give you one scripture here, I don't know where it is. You remember, when Jacob got to Laban, he was to marry Rachel, right? And they play game on him, and at the night of the wedding, they switch and give him Leah, right? Then, but he loved Rachel. And then he said, you know what? I still want this Rachel. Then he said, I will do another week. I will work for you later for another week. And that was for 7 years, right? So 1 week in prophecy can mean 7 years. Praise the Lord. That is a prophetic time here. So it is, 1 week here means 7 years. So if you get 62 plus 7, you get 69 weeks. Now, we are talking, 69 times 7 is 483, 483 prophetic years. So that is what it is. So prophecy is saying that for the time of the giving of the commandment to restore Jerusalem back unto the coming of the Messiah shall be 483 years. And we know in history that that commandment was given in 445 BC. Okay? And from that time on, Christ was crucified in AD 33. Christ entered Jerusalem in triumphantly in April 2, AD 33. So when you count from 445 BC to AD 33, counting prophetic years of 360 days per year, is exactly 483 years. Praise the Lord. Daniel, 500 years before, prophesied that it be so. From the time of the commandment, in 445 BC, where they said to go and return Jerusalem, to the coming of Christ, will be exactly 483 years. And if you count it, it's just exactly, so they didn't make a mistake and so on. So, what are we doing about this? What about the coming of Christ, right? It's coming soon, right? I read all those prophecies about his first coming, right? So all the biblical prophecies of the ancient prophets about the coming of Christ came to pass just as they were foretold. I just named a few of them. There are many, many other prophecies about the first coming of Christ. I just mentioned those few ones. The thing is this. So these same prophecies that foretold that Christ will come the first time to give his life a ransom for mankind also declare that he will come again. So the logic is, this time around, when he comes, first of all, to take away his bride, and then later he will come back to the earth to be revealed in glory, upon the face of the earth. So since those ancient prophets were right the first time about the first coming, we can be sure they will be right again, about the second coming, that is coming again. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that is the point. That's why I read the Old Testament of his first coming. Those same prophets now say he's coming again. If they were right the first time, you can be sure they are right again by the second coming. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is the whole point of reading the Old Testament about his first coming and so on. So why did the Lord Jesus Christ go away anyway? Why did he go away? Well, when the Lord announced to his disciples that he was soon to depart this world, they were very, very sorrowful. That is in John 16:5. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And and none of you, asketh me whither goest thou. But because I have said that these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. So the Lord explained to them, why he had to go. Number one reason, and there are many reasons, I just see one or two of them. One reason why the Lord went away, is that he might send the Holy Ghost to the church. Praise the Lord. You can see that in John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, if I depart, I will send him unto you. So that's one of the reasons why he left. Then if you are asking with the Comforter, the Bible explains itself. I always love that. When you have the Bible explain itself or interpret itself, praise the Lord. Who is the Comforter? John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. If you love the Holy Ghost and so on, you will love this scripture. It will abide with you forever, right? Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, so we are acting with the Comforter, right? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, right there, that's the Comforter, right? Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have told you or said unto you, the Lord said. So some of the reasons why he desired for his disciples to receive the Holy Ghost, let's talk about that a little bit too, so that you can know the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. It has a lot to do with the coming of the Lord. So those who are expecting his coming, right? So let us see some of the reasons why the Lord wants the believer to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't forget that he himself, before he began his ministry, when John the Baptist was preaching right at the Jordan River, right? The first thing he did was, the Bible says, he went to John to baptize me also. And John the Baptist said, look, I need to be baptized of you, right? But, the Lord says, never mind, just go ahead and do it so that we can fulfill all righteousness. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says, I was coming out of the river, out of the water, praying, right? The Holy Ghost descended like a dove and rested upon him. Praise the Lord. So he was filled with the Holy Ghost. So can you see, I just love him. everything that he did and so forth, he passed on to the believer and so forth. The same Holy Ghost, whom the Lord Jesus received, he promised to the believers and so forth. Anyway, so we see that, the Lord has a numerous solemnity here, what I have here, these things have I spoken unto you, when I yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send to me in my name. Anyway, so that's one. So the Lord has numerous tasks. Why the Holy Ghost has to come? Why you have to receive the Holy Ghost and the believer? So he has numerous tasks for every Christian. What is it? To bring Christ to the nations. Praise the Lord. That is the task he gave every one of us who are Christians. Even to the uttermost parts of the earth. That is in Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature, he said. Now I will say this to you. The true gospel can only be preached, the true gospel, right? Can only be preached by men that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praise the Lord. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to do it at all. Only those who are filled with the Holy Ghost can really preach the true gospel. Let me see what I'm saying here. Because in 1 Peter 1:12, here is what the apostle said by the Holy Ghost. Unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Amen? That's the only way to preach the true gospel. I don't care what other people are doing. So the true gospel is preached by the Holy Ghost sent from heaven. That is the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost in the first instance. Nobody can preach the true gospel without the Holy Ghost. So we see that here. So the Lord commanded the disciples, Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Okay, praise the Lord. Then in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in the Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So, and the second chapter of the book of Acts confirmed out of the 500 people, or over 500, who had the Lord give this command, only 120 of them obeyed him. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Over 500 had him give that command to tarry, but only 120, really obey him, and they tarry. And the Lord told them in Acts chapter 2, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, as you all know. So anyway, in Acts 5:32, we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Only 120 obeyed the act of 500, right? And they get the Holy Ghost. And ever since that time, those who receive the Holy Ghost are those who obey the Lord. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord Jesus. Just let the scripture speak for itself, right? Now, another reason why the Lord went away is that he will go and prepare a place for us who believe, right? Mm-hmm. Where we will dwell with him forever. So in John 14:2, talking about the Lord Jesus is coming again, right? In John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare, he said, a place for you. And if I go and prepare it, notice the word prepare, because I'm going to reference it in another scripture here. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. See, he is coming again. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He is coming again. I will come again. And I receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How much he loves us, right? He wants you and I to be with him wherever he is. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, this place he is talking about is none other place but the Holy City that was revealed to Apostle Paul, Apostle John, in the book of Revelation. So Revelation 21 verse 2. And I, John, saw the Holy City, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Now, prepared. I'm going to prepare a place for you, right? John said he saw the Holy City, you know, coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride, you know, adorned for her husband. So the Holy City, the New Jerusalem, the believer's eternal home, that's what it is, you know, commands our honest attention. If you are looking for his coming, you will be happy with all these things now that he's preparing for us. Anyway, so, you know, attention. The city is indeed unique. And all of today's, you know, notable metropolitan cities and so forth, if we talk about Paris in France, Chicago in USA, Cape Town in South Africa, name them and so forth, they are all comparison, miserable imitation, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the Holy City, the New Jerusalem, the bright eternal home. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. No matter how beautiful it is and so on in this world, none. They are miserable imitation compared to where we are going to live with Christ forever and ever. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we want to keep our idea as well as that, you know. So we see. Now, so we see here. Now, in Revelation 21, 12, let's talk about this, our eternal home that the Lord promised us and so on, to prepare for us. 21:12. And, you know, had a wall. Here is the city now. The city had a wall, great and high. And it had 12 gates. And the gates are 12 angels. And names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Verse 14 says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Verse 15, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. If you know that 8 furlongs make a mile, then you know that and the length and the breadth and the height of it are the same. They are all equal. The city extends in 3 dimensions, 12,000. The Bible says that if you convert that will be 1,500 miles each way, length and breadth and then the height. So it's a 3 dimensional, you know, celestial, you know, city and so on. That means it will occupy more than half of the U.S. land, you know, at that size. It will occupy more than half of the United States land by that measurement. So you think about that, right? So the size gives us an idea or indication, you know, how many people can, you know, occupy this kind of thing. The millions and millions of the saints will be redeemed, will be there. You know, so where the Lord is preparing for his children and so forth. Revelation 21:18, more about this city. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Verse 19. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. What a wonderful thing. If this description refers to, you know, to the houses and homes that we'll be living in when the Lord comes, then it means we're going to be living in palaces of transparent gold, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing to compare to it in this world and so on. What a magnificent spectacle. Such a city must be seen from a distance. Lit up by the glory of God. As the Bible says in the book of Revelation, lit up by the glory of God. The description is surpassingly grand. It is of a celestial origin. There are no mortal hands employed in the construction thereof. The Lord is going to prepare the place, right? No human heart is involved in it at all. It is just such a place as we will expect the divine architect to design and build. Amen? Praise the Lord. He has been busy for over 2,000 years. You see, I'm going to prepare a place for you, right? And this magnificent creation that will lighten the world with his glory, is no doubt nearing completion if it has not already been completed. Because it can come anytime, right? So it is nearing completion, or it's already completed. So anyway, so just to describe the place he went to prepare. If I go away, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now I come again, right? It's coming again. And I repeat you to myself. And we are told this is the place he believes he is preparing for us. So as the Lord ascended to heaven, angels declare that he will return again. Talking about Jesus coming again, right? Angels declare that he is coming again. Himself says so. Angels say so. Acts 1:9. And when he had spoken these things, why they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Then verse 10 says, and why they looked steadfastly, towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stand by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand up gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you see him, go to heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. He said it many times. Angels are here as he was going up, and he said it in the same manner in many, many, many forms. As he went up physically, and we're going to see him physically again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Another thing is this. He went up for the Mount of Olives. And that's why he's going to return again when he comes physically to the earth. Praise the Lord. Zechariah tells us about that one. Zechariah 12:13, I believe it is. I don't have to go there. So in the same way, in many, many forms and so on. Anyway, there are many people, false teachers and so on, which he says already come in the spirit. But with the angel says he come in the same manner as he seen go to Revelation 1:7. It said that he's coming in the clouds, right? Clouds take him up, right? Revelation 1:7 says he come in the cloud too. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So in every way, in the same manner you see him go to heaven, he comes the same way. So let's quickly rush this one through and so forth. So we see that right there. So the Lord is returning. Another reason why when he comes to take his bride, you see, comes to take his bride. And let me see. The disciples naturally hoped that the Lord will return in a short time. That's what they were thinking, right? Though he told them many, many times, many, many parables, he told them that, it won't be needed. But they keep on nothing that idea and all that, But the Lord had a task for the church to do, which is to take the gospel to every nation. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He couldn't convince them mostly. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And the Bible says, Amen. Dear. So the gospel was to be to begin from Jerusalem and to all Judea, the Lord said, and into Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Before the Lord can return and so that, you know, the church, you know, must fulfill this task that the Lord has given to us. That's why in Matthew 24:14 he's telling us this one. And the gospel of the kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, unto all nations. And then shall the end call. The Lord told us. That's why they didn't come immediately. He had a church in the work of his church and so on. Now, the reason for this was that the Lord, you know, who spoke of himself as the bridegroom, will return to take back to heaven his bride. Who are they? The chosen people. A company of true Christians that that love him, that are to become his bride. That's the people he's coming for, the bride of Christ. You know, so and now when the when the commission has been fulfilled, then the Lord Jesus Christ will come. And what he said and so on. This parable in Matthew 25, right? He told of 10 virgins in a parable. You know, it's coming. There are many parables of the of the kingdom of God, right? So that means Matthew 25, known by many people. He gave a parable of 10 virgins waiting to meet the bridegroom, and there are 5 who are wise and 5 who are foolish, right? So anyway, the foolish ones did not take oil in their vessel. They only had the land, they didn't take oil with their vessel and so forth. So when the bridegroom came, in short, they were not ready. So in Matthew 25:10, only the 5 that were ready, you know, went with him, and the door was shut. You see? So a picture of the union of Christ, the bridegroom, with his bride, is also found in Revelation 19:7-8. So we all know the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, right? So I won't talk too much about that. So here is a picture of the bridegroom and the bride. Revelation 9:7-8. Yeah. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. See, readiness, right? So, and to her was granted that he should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So we see, and so Christ, the bridegroom, is waiting for his bride now, you know, to be completed. Amen? Praise the Lord. He's waiting for his bride to be completed. And, the call of this hour, the hour we are living in, this is the call of the hour, Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is attached, come. And whosoever we, let him take the water of life freely. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That also pertains to the Holy Ghost. You know, in John 7, I believe it is, and so on, that out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Back to the Holy Ghost again. So, let's see. Anyway, so anybody can come. The bride, and they are inviting everyone to come, and so on, and that, So, anyway, then he says this one and say that in verse 20, he which testify this thing says, surely I come quickly. It's coming. The Lord is coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. Surely, know that about it. I come quickly. And he put amen there. Praise the Lord. I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's our aspiration. That's our daily prayer, even to come, Lord Jesus. So, we put it. I'd like to close service with this verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't like to hear the word grace said in the church. read the book of Revelation, the last book, and say that I'm not ashamed of it at all. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, so Matthew 24, I'm trying to finish this one. Matthew 24 and Luke 21. The Lord gave many signs that we precede his coming, including the rise of false prophets which have been arising over the years and so on, that will deceive many, and many have been deceived, right? Was it not last year, somewhere in South Africa, gather people together, as a Christ is coming through, as well, I say this, and the day come, nothing happened, right? It has been happening over the ages. Even in Nigeria, we have the Jesus of Winnebago, right? Praise the Lord. Fulfilling the prophecy of Christ, you know, and we can name many of that in subject on itself, right? We can name many of them in African too, who are false people, and I'm talking about that and all that, you know. So anyway, the Lord foretold all those things. Now let's quickly finish with some of the signs that the Lord said will be happening before he's come. For example, he talked about earthquakes, wars and rumors of wars. This generation has witnessed all these things, amen, to show you the nearness of the Lord, coming of the Lord. Wars and rumors of war. As you are talking now, many wars are going on in the war. The Ukraine war has been going on for almost 3 years by February, right? Praise the Lord. Wars and rumors of war. This thing come and go. People are sleeping, right? They don't remember the word of Christ. No, anyway. So, and talk of signs in the sun and in the moon and so on. Just to let you know, just on November 23, this year, what happened? There is a volcano that erupted in northern Ethiopia, you know, on November 23. And that volcano has never ever erupted, you know, in the recorded history. Scientists claim that the last time, you know, that anything happened like that was 10 to 12,000 years ago. Don't be amazed, because this earth wasn't 6,000 years old. Amen? Praise the Lord. The earth has been of old. Praise the Lord. And you know, I can believe that, because 12,000 years ago was the time the Lord, you know, Genesis 1 and 2, when the Bible said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? Then verse 2 said, then all of a sudden there's a void. Praise the Lord. Something was wiped out, whatever was here on that time and so on. So you have to recreate it. And by what it means by what they call the carbon 14 time measurement, we know the time of that restoration of the heart was about 12,000 years ago, you know. So anyway, so they think that this volcano in Ethiopia that erupted in November 23 has never erupted, and they think the last time that happened like 12,000 years ago. Anyway, well, the Lord said that the earthquake in Davos places, right? Praise the Lord. That's another formation of prophecy right there. In Davos places and all that, you know. Anyway, so, and that's one thing. And also, on the 9th of December 8th this year, so a powerful earthquake, 7.6, hit, you know, Japan. I don't know if you all hear about it. This may come and go, but the elect of God, they are watchful and prayerful. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If I latch you and me, that the coming of the Lord, you know, dress night and so on. People are forgetting about that and so on, just about this year and so on. So let me see again, let me mention another one. Bible says there will be signs in the sun and in the moon. That is in Luke 21:25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the heart, distress of nations with perplexity. Amen. The sea and the waves rise. Are not the nation perplexed today? Confusion everywhere. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Hello, that's what is happening in the world today and so on. For people who want to see it and so on. So now, let's mention about two of those signs quickly, and I close from there. On December 19th this year, an interstellar comet. Interstellar comet means the comet came out of out of our solar system and entered our solar system. Comets happen within our solar system, right? This all came out of our solar system and entered our solar system. And the measures and so on. Bible says signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, right? It happened right there. So that is the December 19th and so on. That this one happened and so on. That just went quietly. Nobody think about it anymore, and so on. Now, coming next year will be open with all kinds of celestial signs. Let me mention about two or three of them as I'm closing here right now. So 2026 will open with many celestial signs. In January 10th, next year, Jupiter will be in a opposition. What do I mean by that? It means that Jupiter will be on one end, and the Sun will be on another end, and the Earth will be in the middle of them. So it will be opposition. What is sign that is? And so that will be around the January 10th. Jupiter in opposition, right? It means that Sun will be on one side, Jupiter will be on the other side, and Sun and our Earth will be in the middle of them. That is coming January 10th. That's a great sign too. George, the Lord said that the signs in the Sun, in the Moon, and in the stars, right? So he said that and so on that, you know. Another one, in February next year, you know, there will be another solar eclipse. We call it the ring of fire. Another solar eclipse means that the moon gets in between the sun and the earth. Because the moon is smaller than the sun, you can't cover the whole sun, right? Then you have a ring of fire and we see from the earth. It's coming. You know, these are all signs in the heaven, right? You know, the Lord said that the signs in the sun, in the moon, right? So, and some of that, you know. Now, I think I want to give another one here before I close the other thing. So in March, March 3, 2026, total lunar eclipse visible across a large part of this earth is coming in March 3. I just saw Friday that there is many celestial signs coming as we enter, you know, as we enter next year and so on. And what is the meaning of all these things? What do they really mean? So they mean that, like the Bible says, they mean that the coming of the Lord dreads now. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm talking about the Lord is coming, right? So all these signs mean that the coming of the Lord dreads now. Let me see. Okay, so we see. So, and let me see. So when the so I think I'm missing a verse here. So let me just see. Just 1 second, please. Oh, okay, that's right. Okay. So now, so in Matthew 24. So I think that's the verse what I have tonight. All this that the Lord is coming very soon, mm-hmm. And you know what I will say is that He told us in many places that we should be watchful and prayerful. Let me read those scriptures to close here. So let me read in Matthew 24:36. But you know, of that day and that hour, no man knows, right? But not even the angels know it. Then in Luke 12:40, you know, be ye therefore ready. You see, that's where I'm finishing. Already, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. The Lord is coming, right? He's coming. Let us heed his prophecy. In 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Amen? Praise the Lord. The end of all things is at hand, brother and sister. In Mark 13:35-37, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Amen? Praise the Lord. That scripture is Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yeah, he is coming. The Lord is coming and so forth. He gave our job. Watch it therefore and pray always. Not to sleep spiritually right now, but to be wide awake. Witness, you know, tell people about the coming of the Lord. Witness to the sinners and so forth. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that we are not the children of the night, that the day should come upon us and we are. We are children of day. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, help us to heed your word, know your warnings, Lord, to be ready. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we enter the new year, and so on, that you know, that, Lord, our eyes will be focused on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us do as it is often said. When is the Lord coming? He can come any day. Praise the Lord. So though, filled with the Holy Spirit and so forth. And don't forget in Hebrews 9, about the last verses and so on. All students that look for him, shall they appear again? No, without sin unto salvation. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I count us toward the Lord as we pray day and day. The motive, even if I wait upon the Lord, is to fulfill your word, Lord. Not to be full with suffering and and drunkenness. And that is coming upon us and we are. So that's why we are even waiting majorly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, we will not be ashamed. Lord, thank you for your word to us and your warning. Blessed be that glorious name, Lord. I cast us toward the Lord to escape all these things. And to, when you say come up either, that all of us and our household, Lord, we rise, beat gravity because it's someone to come up here and stand before the Son of Man. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.